All right, good morning. If you want to go ahead, turn to Mark 4, 35 through 41 with me. Just real quick, this popped in my mind last night to share. It was kind of just a dream of mine. When I started the pastoral residency, or when we came and became members here, and I knew I was going to ministry, it was my dream to hopefully maybe preach from this pulpit on a Sunday morning. Well, I thought maybe that would come during the residency, but that never happened. And so, but about almost 3 years later, it's happening today. So I'm just blessed to, as Brian said, share the gospel with you all. But today we're talking about put faith in the one who has control over more so the storm-like situations that we go through, that we face, that crash into us. And so let me ask a few questions, and I want some participation, okay? How many of you, raise your hand if you've been in a storm? That should be all of us, because last week, right, we were all in a decent-sized storm, right? Now, raise your hand. In these storm-like situations, whether it's a thunderstorm, hurricane, maybe it's a tornado, raise your hand if you're the type of person that goes straight to the basement. Like, without question, you go straight to the basement. Raise your hand. So a couple. Okay. All right. So now here's the other one. Raise your hand if you are grab a snack, grab a cold soda, and grab a lawn chair and sit on the front porch. There's a little bit more, right? So I told Morgan I was debating on doing this, but I am the second one. Morgan, she's kind of afraid of storms. It doesn't matter how big or not. And so she's like precise, like, hey, we need to make sure we get to safety or whatever that is. And I'm just like, let me look out the window. And I think the reason why I'm calm in storms, well, I think I inherited that from my mom and dad, because I grew up the first house here in Moberly on McKenzie Street, the big two-story blue house. And so that porch had a clear, wide-open view of every single storm that came into Moberly. You could see it clear as day, the clouds rolling in, and it was perfect. And so we would hear rain or even sometimes hear sirens and go to the porch immediately and just look at what was coming up, what was about to conjure. I even remember sometimes, or maybe just once, grabbing a Shakespeare cup, all of a sudden running outside to try to catch hail in a cup. Till I got told, you know, you need to probably get back inside. It's not probably the wisest thing to do. But today we're not talking about necessarily actual storms like thunderstorms or tornadoes or things like that. Today we're going to read about one, but it has so much more meaning than just a physical storm that pops up. Because today we're going to focus on those spiritual storms that come up into our lives. See, I'll get kind of personal. I love to get personal with people that I preach to. See, to be honest, spiritual storms are not my forte. When it comes to a thunderstorm or twister, I'll sit and watch it. But when it comes to spiritual storms, those are the storms I want to run from. Storms I want to hide from. In fact, I'll share this with you. When God kept laying this message on my heart, the last time I preached this, a lot of chaotic storms, personally and ministerially, started happening in my life. And so when he kept saying, hey, this is it, this is the sermon, I was like, I don't know. But today we're going to see where our faith is in storms of life. And so if you will, please stand. I know you all do that, and I love to do that as well. Stand as we read God's word, as we're going to read verse 35 through 41 together. And God's word says this, verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he told them, let us cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him alongside, since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the winds were breaking over the storm. And the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped, or other translations say being filled already. Verse 39, and he, meaning Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are going to die? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, or peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40, then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day, Lord. I pray right now over the congregation sitting in front of me that you would open their hearts and minds to what you need to say. And Lord, I pray for myself that you would get me out of your way, that you would just only use me as your mouthpiece to speak everything that you need to speak to today from your living word. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for being right here, Lord, to just glorify you and honor you, preach for you. Thank you again for this day. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So today we're going to talk about two ways. One has comfort in the storms of life, but there's a catch. Because we can have comfort in the storms of life when we keep faith in the one who has control. That one is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And so one can have comfort in the storms because point number one is this. Jesus is the one that asked us to follow him. Jesus is the one that asked us to follow him, to come after him, to trust in him. We see this in verses 35 through 37. But see, right off the bat, first, we got to have a little bit of background story real quick. Where is this taking place? Well, it's taking place in Galilee. And so actually, if we go to the first book of the Gospels in Matthew 5 through 7, it gives us a little bit more of a bigger picture of what had happened kind of right before 35 goes on. And that is when Jesus, he is preaching to the crowds, right? He gets up on the mountain. We call it, right, the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches and speaks to this great crowd of people. But then, not just speaking to them, then he gets down off the mount, and then he starts performing miracles, and then more people start following him. So now, like, this huge crowd has started following Jesus and his disciples. And so we get to the point in verse 35, as it kicks off with Jesus telling his disciples, hey, as it says, let's go to the other side of the sea. Right? Jesus is saying and directing his attention solely now to the disciples. He's not looking of the thousands, the crowd that was with him, but he is only looking and directing his attention to the disciples, telling them, hey, come with me, follow me. Let's break from this large crowd and trust in me, which they were going to have to cross sea, a body of water. Right? I want to point out, right, this was not just Rothwell Lake, right? It was not Lion's Pond, pretty much. It wasn't even the Lake of the Ozarks. This was the Sea of Galilee. And it's important because a commentary I found, it said this, and I'll mention it later, but it says that the Sea of Galilee is 696 feet or 212 meters below sea level. And because of that, it resulted, and a lot of times, it resulted in downdrafts. And because of those violent downdrafts, well, guess what that caused? It caused sudden storms and windstorms to happen. Right? And here's the thing. This is not just probably some myth that we know now. They would have known that, right? They fished a lot back then for a job. And so here's the thing. Jesus and even the 12 disciples probably would have known this. Even if you caught on, even the other people that were following Jesus and the other boats would have known this fact. And so maybe in your mind, you're thinking, kind of like maybe me, well, you might wonder, well, why would you take people if you know that there's going to be danger ahead? Right? Like, why would you risk it? Well, here's the thing. Because when I think of that, why would Jesus risk going into danger when I think about when Jesus calls his 12 disciples? When Jesus even calls us, he doesn't call us saying, hey, everything's going to be perfect and sunshine and rainbows. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but instead, it's going to be hard. It's going to be rocky at times. As again, right, Jesus is trying to lead the multitude that was following him, and he's just wanting to be personal with the disciples in the boat and get across. And so he's saying to them, like, trust in me, right? Follow my plan. It'll be good if you just trust and me, as we see that many times throughout the gospel. As he calls each of the 12, he calls them, hey, follow me, drop everything, and trust in my plan. And that's exactly what we see is going on in 35. And so, Jesus calling us to go with him anywhere he says to in life. Right? That's what we are seeing, right? He's saying, trust in me, put faith in me, follow my plan. And so the greatest question, why would we do that? Just like the disciples that we're going to see in 36, that they just get on the boat. They trust in him. But why would we do that? Well, here's a short-term answer real quick is, well, he's the Messiah. It's Jesus. It's the one that can redeem us, can save us, who has all authority. But also, in 2026, we have this living word. And we know exactly everything that Jesus went through. And Jesus went through everything that life can pretty much throw at us humans. And so, because he knows how to handle everything that's thrown at every single human in this world, in this lifetime, we can trust his leadership. Trust that he knows what he's doing. And so, as I said, in 36, we see the disciples, they just jump aboard. Right? No questions asked that we know of, right? It clearly says they just went with him. They trusted in him, followed his leadership, and everything was peachy, right? Everything was smooth sailing, well, at first, until they got out to sea. They get out to sea, and what starts happening? Well, deep trouble, right? They are in some deep danger, in fact, danger of their lives. At 37, it said again, it says this, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat. Right, so it's kind of like, hold on, right? Because they did what they're supposed to do. They got onto the boat. They trusted in Jesus and his plan of just following him. But now all of a sudden, there's huge chaos all around them. Right, that they did what they were told to do, just follow him and trust in his plan, do more work, whatever that was going to be on the other side of the sea, which we know, well, Jesus was going to get off that boat and cast some demons out of a man. But just imagine what the disciples probably felt, right? They probably imagine, like, at this point, everything has gone decent with following Christ. So what's going to happen, right? Everything's going to keep going smooth. But then, again, chaos was around them. A storm starts beating up the boat, even so that the waters, the waves were overcoming the boat. It was, as 37 ends, the boat was already being swamped or other translations say it was already filling up. So the boat, not just that it was getting beat up by the winds and waves, but then it was getting overwhelming. It was being hard to be in, or better yet, even withstand the storm that they were in at the moment. But see, going back to that commentary, right? This would have been a known thing of the Sea of Galilee, that wind storms would pop up, storms would pop up. But Jesus, who called the disciples to just follow him, trust in him, who calls us to do the same, he already knew the danger ahead, and he went anyway. He already knew what was going to maybe conjure up anyway, and he went out to sea. See, maybe you know following Christ is not going to be easy. Right? Maybe you know that life even is not full of sunshine and rainbows. And see, if you know that, let me direct to this. When storm-like situations happen in our lives, who or what are you running to or towards? Who or what are you looking at in life when those storms pop up? Because see, I look at the world, and when life starts happening and storms start happening and chaos is consuming us, we go straight to ourselves maybe to fix it, or we go straight to the worldly pleasures to try to fix it, which just ends up beating us up more and more. The pains and sorrows become more and more. So here's the thing. When the boat in our life starts filling up, when the chaos of this life starts consuming us, whether that is the family matters, the church matters, the health issues, the pains, the sorrows, maybe an overwhelming temptation of sin, whatever it is, when all of that starts hitting the boat and when it starts being overwhelming and filling up and we can't control it, right? Even when we try to go to ourselves and go to the worldly things, right? That cannot calm the storm, calm the waves down. And so here's the thing. We must, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must remember him. We must remember the one who asked us to follow him, the one that's in the boat. And why remember Jesus? Well, again, as I said a little bit ago, because he knows how to handle the storms. We know without a doubt he's the one that can handle everything. But here's the thing. Jesus is the one who says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has authority over everything in our lives, things we see and cannot see. Jesus is the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is Jesus who says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. It's Jesus who says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. And what? He will give you rest. See, Jesus is here for you and I. He can be here for you when you put faith in him. See, what I can see from Scripture and in my own life and testimony, he won't lead us into harm or let us go into harm if he can't protect us from it. And hear me, we cannot lose sight of who Jesus is. Jesus, who is leading us, who calls us to lay everything down and follow him. We can only hold fast to Jesus, who can calm the chaos as we're about to talk about. But let me ask this real quick. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you remembering that Jesus Christ is right there with you at all times? The first thing of how one can have comfort in the storms was that Jesus is the one that asked us to follow him. Secondly, one can have comfort in the storms of life. Secondly, because Jesus is the one that can calm the storms that surround us. We see this in the ending verses 38 through 41 as verse 38. Let me reread it. It says this, and he, meaning Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are going to die? See, what is Jesus Christ, who we are supposed to follow, who we are supposed to just let lead us in all kinds of circumstances? What is he doing? He's asleep in the middle of a life-threatening moment. But see, when I dig into this verse right here, so many of us can jump the gun and think this, that Jesus was asleep because he just didn't care about the disciples. He didn't care what was going on around them. But see, it's the opposite. Jesus wasn't asleep because he didn't care about the disciples. But see, he was asleep because he was not afraid at all, but he was in peace, in the chaos. See, I think so many times in these situations of storms that start hitting us, we feel like Jesus just doesn't care. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're going through a hardship right now and you think Jesus is just off in heaven, off in the clouds, just taking a nice little nap, ignoring your situation. But trust me, that is not who Jesus is. See, in the end of verse 38, we see the reaction of the disciples to the storm that's around them. As the disciples, right, they panicked, they freaked out, right? And they went straight to Jesus, questioning him pretty much of his abilities, right? And that's showing us that they were not trusting in him. They were not keeping the faith in the chaos. As it says, the disciples, they woke Jesus up and asked, do you not care if we are going to die? Right? Simply saying, like, why are you not doing anything? Right? Do you just not care about us? Like, well, you called us to follow you, and now you're just asleep, ignoring us, maybe. See, I know so many times in my life I've been there. I've been right where the disciples were. When storms came up to me, I wanted, again, like I said in my intro, I wanted to hide. But more importantly, I just went straight to questioning him. I went straight to just wanting to be angry at him and just face him by myself. I know, in fact, 2 years ago, that was me. Two months into Morganized marriage. A lot of chaos and storms struck and tragedy struck. And I'll be honest, I was right where these disciples were, freaking out and panicking and being afraid of why, Jesus, why are you doing this? Do you not care about me? Do you not care about Morgan? Do you not care about her family? Do you not care about my family? Or whatever it was. See, I think the storms of life, man, when they come crashing into us, we so often start thinking and feeling the worst of things that could go on or happen. We jump the gun to thinking no one cares, not even Jesus cares about the situation, just as the disciples were doing. See, I feel storms, though, in our lives, they do more than just make us question Christ, but I think it's clear that the enemy uses storm-like situations to twist our view of who Jesus is, to get our focus off of Jesus and just look at the winds and waves crashing into us, where we stop putting faith in Jesus. We stop seeing who he truly is and what he can truly do to the matter at hand. See, again, for me, I was just looking at the winds and waves 2 years ago when everything started happening. I wanted to just be angry. I wanted to just question him. But then, in the midst of all of that, I remembered who I confess as my Lord. I remembered who Jesus was. And I remembered that he is the one that can twist the story. He can turn it around. Everything that is in his hands. And so, instead of being afraid, instead of freaking out, I put my faith and hope in him, and things did turn around. In fact, we see in verse 39 and 40 what Jesus does. As I like to say, what does the man of the hour, what does he do? Well, it says Jesus, he jumps up, he rebukes the wind, and what does he say? He says, silence or peace, be still. Right? He didn't have to reach out and touch the wind. He didn't have to reach down and touch the water. He just spoke, and everything was quiet. Y'all, Jesus was there all along. He was with them. He was leading them. He was in the boat with them, just like he's still with you and I. And when he did his act of stepping up and rebuking the wind, rebuking the storm, and everything was calm. Everything was at peace and it was still. Y'all, that's so significant right there. And why? Thanks for asking. Because Jesus Christ just showed his disciple who he truly was. Jesus just showed yet again who he truly was. That he was not just the son of Mary. Right? That he was not just a man that knew a lot of scripture from age 12 and grew in wisdom. He was not just a man that knew how to get a large crowd to follow him and believe his words. But no, that he was the very fact, the Son of God. That he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who says, I am the Lord. And I love in Job 28. Job 28 points to this in a way because Job talks about how God understands the situations in life, how God has better yet the control of the matters. In Job 28, 23 through 25, Job says this, God understands the way to it, and he knows its place, for he looks to the end of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Verse 25, when he gave the winds its weight and appointed the waters by measure. Job showing us that it is the Lord who has everything under control. He sees all the matters that go on in our life situations. And he knows how to handle it because he created all of us and he created everything around us. So it shows us that Jesus is the perfect one to calm the storm the disciples were in. Why? Because he is the Lord that we see from the beginning to the end of the Bible. It is Jesus who could calm the storm around them because he made the very water that they were in. See, better yet, this shows us that Jesus Christ is the one to put all our faith in when everything is going under. See, as Jesus, he asked this big question to the disciples after everything was calm. He says this, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Right? Jesus wondered, why did you just panic and have fear right away? Like, why didn't you just put faith in me? Because it's just a sea storm, right? And I could imagine, maybe, I'm not trying to be in Jesus' mind, but he's like, it's just a sea storm, right? And I am the I am. Let me ask this. Are you right now in life questioning Christ's abilities? Are you maybe questioning what he can do in your situation? Because see, the ironic thing about this, man, is the parable right before this event of Jesus calming the storm. Because the parable right before this is a parable of the mustard seed. And Jesus talks and tells the people, tells the disciples, hey, even if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds, if you have faith even that small in Jesus, it will move mountains. Why? Because it's in Jesus, the Lord. And so we see the disciples literally just dismiss that. See, the thing is, the disciples did the right thing by going to Jesus, seeking him to calm it, but they did the wrong thing by panicking and being afraid right away. It's because we are called as Christ followers to keep faith always, no matter what. Because as we read, because Psalm 23, because his rod and staff, they do comfort us. Now there's one last question we see, and that's the question from the disciples, because they're basically in awe. They're in shock, right? They were terrified of what they just saw. And they ask themselves, who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Right? Maybe you're like me when you first read that. It's kind of like, come on, y'all. Were you not paying attention? Like he just did the act of calming everything. So surely, right, he has already said he's the Christ. So surely you would recollect that. But see, here's the thing. They actually asked the right question. And how do we know that? Well, it's because, again, Jesus just gave them proof, yet again, who he is, that he is truly God, that he is truly the Son of God that can take care of all matters at hand, especially that he is the Son of God to come take away all sins from Mandy if we repent and put faith in him. Y'all, there should be no worry, there should be no fear in our lives if we have Jesus Christ with us. Right? Faith and fear, they don't blend well together. They can't. It's very clear. We are commanded several times in Joshua, be courageous. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Why? It's because Jesus has the power. Jesus is the one that can calm and stop everything that crashes and breaks into us. As I love this verse of Colossians 2, 9 through 10, it says this, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him. And it says this, who is the head of all rule and authority. It's Jesus who is the head of everything. Even those storms of our life that beat us up. But the greatest thing about Jesus' power is this, is that when we repent of our sins and believe that he died for our sins and rose 3 days later, and we confess him as Lord of our life, we put faith in him, we are forgiven. And he fills us with his Spirit, and we are forever his, and he will guide us and protect us through everything. And so to close today, to wrap up, I love this quote. It's by Craig Rochelle, and he says this, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Again, it's hard not to panic. It's hard not to freak out when these storms-like situations come upon us. Like I said, I've been there. You have probably been there in your life. Maybe you are now, and I urge you, trust in Christ Jesus. Because he has every matter at hand, because he is the great I am, the Lord of lords, the one who has all authority. And I want to say this. If you are here today, and maybe you have been going through a storm, and maybe it won't calm down, maybe it's just been chaotic, and every week, every day, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I say this out of the kindness and the love of my heart. If you don't have Christ, it's never going to calm down. If Christ is not the one leading you, if Christ is not the one in the boat of your life, metaphorically, it will not cease. See, here's the thing. You can have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as your protector through it all. By repenting of your sins, turning from them, do not turn back from them. Believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins so that you can be forgiven and confess him as Lord. I urge you to do that today as I will be down in front. So I want to say this. I challenge all of us, myself included, that we pay attention to where we are putting our faith this week, especially when the storms arise and beat into us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you again, number one, to just have the opportunity to speak for you. But Lord, right now, I pray if there is anyone, Lord, that is facing a trial, facing maybe multitudes of sins against you, that they would see you as Lord and Savior. They would see that you are the one to put all hope and all faith in. That they, Lord, would deny themselves, deny this world, and follow you. Lord, thank you, and let your will be done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together.